We're on page Samach Hey. Samach Hey. So, last time, Ravolvi introduced to us two ways of looking at our spiritual health, our personal growth. So, we had the general health, you know, the same thing that every health practitioner will tell you, this is what you need to eat, this is what you need to do for exercise, these are the things that everybody needs to do across the board, it doesn't really matter who you are. And then there are the personal, what he calls avoda hapratis, the personal, unique characteristics that I need to address. It's like my menu. You know, it's, I guess, a different analogy of this would be, instead of a doctor, would be, let's say, a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, and all the patrons get the same, they get the same menu. But in your house, so it's not that you get a standard menu from a restaurant. So usually, when you make up the menu, you make up the menu based on the people who are eating in that menu. So if you have, like, people like me who like potato kugel, Eastern European style, like deep fried dough type of food, you get one kind of menu. And then when you have other people who live in our house, then they don't eat that, so they need like asparagus, you know? So the menu reflects the person. So if you're looking at a menu of things that we need to do to improve ourselves, so we have to deal with the generic, and then we have to deal with the specific. And I mentioned it last time, so I found it. This is the book called Raising an Emotionally Intelligent Child by John Gottman. And in here, right toward the beginning, where he talks about emotional coaching, he talks about assessing your parenting style. And he says that the path to becoming a better parent, and this is the key line that I wanted to take away from this, like most every road to personal growth and mastery, begins with self-examination. Understanding ourselves. That's where it starts. And that's what Ravolvi is pointing out, that it starts with self-examination. So today, Ravolvi points out that if we don't do that, then there are potential pitfalls. You know, it would be like going to a physician, and the physician, you know, would prescribe a medication for you for a particular ailment that was out of whack. Let's say somebody had a thyroid issue. So they know they have a thyroid issue, but they don't really know what their thyroid issue is. So what are they going to do? They're going to call the endocrinologist and say, you know, I have a thyroid issue. Could you please prescribe something for me? Well, the dosage for an endocrinologist are in like micro-nana something or others. You know, it's very, very small. You can't give individualized dosage for an endocrinological problem over the telephone for somebody who you don't know. And if the person says, oh no, I know myself, but they don't really know what their real issue is, so then it's not going to help. So you're going to have potentially bad side effects. You may pursue mistaken goals, and that's where Ravolvi identifies here. After the three dots here on page, on the left-hand side, he says, lo nuchal, we are not able, lageshes, to approach el biur ha'inyanim, the issues, mebeli la'amor al ha'totzaos ha'chamuros, the serious consequences, ha'alulos lihivaleid, that can be born, migisha peziza, from an exaggerated, inaccurate approach, lechinuch atzmi prati, to personal aspirations. Ze hayakar asher biyom amdo al da'ato hechlit la'avod al atzmo. This person who has that aha moment and says, I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to focus on personal growth. Let me get started. V'yedias atzmo lo haysalo. But that person doesn't really know themselves. So you know what happens? He vihine, behold, hu shama pam, he once heard, al eitzos shel tzom devarim, something called a tanis dibur. Tanis dibur means that a person does not speak at all. There was a great Musar giant. His name was Rav Itzla Blazer, Rav Yitzchak Petterberger. So he would take a Tanis Dibur all of Chodesh Elul for a month. He would not speak. And I think that his wife, one year his wife at home had a baby and they came to tell him, and he felt that it was important, so he interrupted his Tanis Dibur to say two words, to tell her Mazel Tov. That was it. Now, Tanis Dibur could be very powerful and very appropriate for some people. Some of you are familiar. There was a very unusual personality. He was related to Rav Goren. He was the one of the close Talmidim Muvhakim of Rav Kook, one of the editors of Rav Kook's Ksavim. His name is Rav David Cohen. He was the Nazir. If you ever see a picture of the Nazir, you can Google it. He had ginormous hair, huge beard. Spent a lot of time with Rav Kook. They met in Switzerland. It's an amazing story. He was a deep Kabbalist. So he was a Nazir. So he often, as a Nazir, would take on a Tanis Dibur. Now, if you're the Nazir, it could be appropriate, considering you're a Nazir, to take on a Tanis Dibur, and that could work for you. There's an amazing story that Rabbi Levin, Zecher Tzadik of Kadosh Levrach, was the saintly Tzadik of Yerushalayim. He once needed a piece of advice. So you can go today. We had the incredible bracha to take our children to Beit HaRav, to Rav Kook's house, where you can actually see the Beis Medrash, the original Beis Medrash with the original plaque to Harry Fishel, who built that building. Amazing. And to stand there and to duchen, and my son looks up at me and says, I stood in the same place as Rabbi Kook. So you stand there, and you sit literally, you see from the pictures, you sit on the same benches that Rav Kook had in the yeshiva when it was founded in 1923, 1924. So Rabbi Levin once came to Beit HaRav. It's right in the middle of the heart of Yerushalayim, and he came looking for Rav Kook for some advice, but Rav Kook wasn't there. So he came to the Beis Medrash, and he saw the Nazir, but the Nazir was in the middle of a Tanis Dibur. So he sat next to the Nazir, and after 10 minutes of sitting next to the Nazir in solitude, he realized what he needed to do, and he went home. Because the Nazir's silence was speech. But how many people today would think that a Tanis Dibur is appropriate for their place in their spiritual growth? So if a person doesn't really know themselves, so they may have heard of that idea, and they're looking, they're grasping for a place to grow in their Avodas Hashem, so the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, I'm going to take his Tanis Dibur. And then my mother-in-law calls on the phone. You know, like, that does that work? He says, Som Dvarim Latikun Lashon Hara Al Hisbodidus, on the solitary nature that is required Hadrushal Avodas Hashem, V'holach V'omar, and this person went and said, Esa King Gamani, I'll also do that. Says Rav Volbi, he doesn't just endanger his physical life, his social life. Says Rav Volbi something interesting. Es atzmo haruchani hu misakein. This person actually endangers their spiritual life. Because it's like taking medication for the wrong ailment. It could be dangerous. It's unhealthy. It's actually negative in its influence. It's not positive. If you take somebody who takes on a Tanis Dibur that's not appropriate, it'll have negative spiritual impacts. He says, Ulai prad ze shenakad bo magbir yoser es nitios of hashlilios. Maybe that actually is going to exacerbate the person's challenges that they have. It's going to make their spiritual situation worse. Asher davka haya osan haya tzarech laka barishona. Those issues that he needed to address and root out in the first place, now he's just exacerbating them because the person doesn't really know themselves, so they don't know what's going to work for them. We know that different people have different coping mechanisms with different things. It works, so it's true for bereavement, as Dr. Pelkovitz likes to point out. The Gemara says, Yashchena midaito, Yashchena lacherem, Yashchena lacherem. There are attenders and distractors. There are attenders and distractors. You know, there are people, you go to a shiva house, and they want to talk about that person. And then your times you go to a shiva house, and they don't want to talk about it. They want a distraction. And we go through different times. Because what it gets at is that every person has different mechanisms of dealing with the feelings that are going on inside them. So Rav Volbi says, the same thing is true for the spiritual midos. So he says, Hanote betivo la'atzvos v'yish l'masol. Let's say you have somebody who, unfortunately, their nature is to be more in the tendency toward sadness and despair and depression, for example. V'yale al daito lehisragel behachna'a. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, oh, I learned about Musar. So I'm going to, you know, tighten up and I'm going to learn one of those classic Musar svarim, you know, where they light your pants on fire. And they tell you literally how you are the dust beneath the carpet, which is an important concept. But if you're going to give that dose of medication to this spiritual patient who already is struggling with self-doubt, and you're going to tell them, you thought you were dirt? You're less than dirt! All right, you're not even dirt! What's going to happen to that person? What's going to happen to their spiritual makeup? He says, Hare yomis bekirbo, he will, and this is Rav Volbe speaking, this is not me, this is not some nobody today, this is one of the great mashpim. He's saying that this has the danger of, God forbid, he uses strong language, yomis bekirbo, he might kill inside of him, as hazik ha'acharon shel simcha sachaim, he may quash and crush the last spark of happiness he has in his life, because he's going to be so deep in the nothingness that he won't be able to see out of the tunnel. That might be good for somebody who's too high on their horse. They could use a little bit of dirt under the carpet. You know, that's good. That's good and appropriate. That's good. But not for somebody who struggles with self-esteem. That's not the right Musa Sefer for them. And you won't know unless you know yourself. Says Rav Volbe, it's so powerful. He says, V'yavatel es hayidia hakalusha mim alosav, and it will nullify, bittul, the tenuous knowledge that he has of this standing. Kikahu yavin hachna. That's how he is going to understand submissiveness before God. He is going to internalize submissiveness before God as saying, oh, I'm nothing. I'm dirt. And that's actually going to confirm his mistaken predisposition. It's so dangerous, says Rav Volbe. And what's going to happen? V'hine? Yishka od yoser beitzavon rucho. The person will spin even in a further downward cycle, God forbid. That's it. That's him saying it, not me. Lachin. Ein lakachas bishum ofen mikol haba el hayad kedei lavar al atzmo. You wouldn't go into a pharmacy and take just anything off the shelf, right? You wouldn't go to Walgreens and say, I'm not feeling so great. Can I have some, I don't know, and what do people, you know, whatever the, you know, zithros, you know, you don't do that. You have to first figure out what is your issue and then what is the right medicine for that. So don't go taking every Musar Eitzah and every Tikkun Amidos that's not right for you. Of course there are things that are generic. You go in there and you say, I would like vitamin C. I've never seen anybody who had too much vitamin C, right? I don't know, I haven't done enough research to find out, is there an overdose on vitamin C? But I always buy the orange juice with the vitamin C. They say it's good for you, so it's good for you. Everybody should take vitamin C. Great. So that's generic. Everybody should do that. But in terms of dealing with my own issues, he says, you got to know yourself and you have to be careful from what might happen if you don't. Skip the next paragraph. I want to go to the next one that starts with the words kol avodah musarit. Kol avodah musarit. Every ethical and musar in this context means personal work. Hina rabas hashpa'ah. It is profoundly impactful. It is very profoundly impactful. Lachain, therefore, im eina zehira umudreches yafeh, if it is not cautious and guided properly, he alula lahavi nizakim chamurim la'adam ha'oved. Because dealing with our sense of self and our personality and who we are is such a delicate business, he says, you have to be exceedingly careful, because if you make a mistake, the consequences are so dire. You know, if you cut your nails, it's not the worst thing. Well, I don't know if speak to anybody else. When I cut my nails, I don't pay that much close attention, because what's the big deal? You know, you cut it a little bit like this, a little bit like that. It's not a big deal. But someone who's doing brain surgery, so every tenth of a millimeter makes a difference. So Rav Volbe says when we open ourselves up and we become vulnerable and we really address who we are inside, when we open ourselves up emotionally, that's really serious business. That's like spiritual, personal brain surgery. And you have to pay close attention, because if you miss the mark, then it's going to be a problem. And the truth is, it's also on the reverse side, not just for us in our own lives, but it's also a tremendous responsibility. This is one of the reasons why I don't dispense advice to anyone. Because people who dispense advice have an enormous responsibility. It's really serious business. So Rav Volbe says, Lachain, nekot klal zeh biyadcha. Take this rule in your hand. Second line of the third paragraph in the middle section here. Kol ma sha'adam oseh l'shem chinucho. Anything that a person does for their development, kol pu'ula, every action, v'chol hanhaga, and every practice, oseh roshem amok v'kayam. It leaves a deep and lasting impact. Zehu igdud gadol lamischanech. This is great support. It's great encouragement for us as we mischanech, that chinuch and the reflexive, as we educate ourselves, because it tells us we can do this. Someone once came to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He told one of his kids or his grandchildren at the end of his life that he grew up, he was an extremely hot-tempered person. Which is amazing, because Rav Moshe was known as the most equanimity of equanimity was like his hallmark. There was a woman there, you can imagine, people called Rav Moshe from all over the world, all the time. I love the story that there was, apparently he was very ill, and there was a woman who called the house on Friday afternoon. Some of you know the story. And Rav Moshe insisted on taking the phone call, because it was an almana who lived in the Lower East Side who used to call him every Erev Shabbos to find out what time licht benching was. It's like the story of Hillel HaZaken. He had unbelievable patience. But he said, you know, he told one of his family members, I once heard from one of them, that he told them that growing up, he was not blessed with a lot of patience. He was a really intense person. But he said, that was my work in life. So, you know, maybe it'll take us 40 years, 50 years, a whole lifetime, who knows. But Rav Volbe is saying, it will make a difference. It will. The same way that that thyroid patient takes that medication, it could be the difference between their, you know, whole, whatever system that regulates anymore, I don't even remember. It could be totally out of whack versus it could be a proper life. So it makes a difference. The small things make a difference. Zeh igdud gadol lamischanech. It's for the person who's being educated. Vezeh matil olav. It puts on him gam acharayas gadola. It's a big responsibility. Because you can't say, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. That's not true. You can. You just have to tap into it. And one last thing. He concludes with a footnote here at the end of this hakdama, which we'll do today, just the last words. Take a look in the next section. It says, Od achas aleinu lahakdim. Just one little hakdama, and we'll conclude with this, because this is how he concludes this introduction. Kadesha yuvan kol inyan avoda hapratis al nachon. Just so we should understand, what does it mean, personal growth? He says, let's just frame the conversation correctly. Ba'av bedoros kadmonim, in original generations, haisa mashmaus acheres lemusag avodas Hashem me'asher betkufa acharona. There was originally a different meaning to the term avodas Hashem, whereas there is in today's time. And he says that in the original times, people really did devote their entire lives in a way that we can't even grasp. Hamotzui ktsas etzel sifrei hakadmonim roe. Someone who sees the original svarim of the great masters, of the original great giants of previous centuries. Roe shehim hayu ovdei Hashem mamish. They were literally mamish avodim of Hashem, that God was so real to them in their lives, and that their service was so genuine that was real avodas Hashem, says Rav Volbe. It's what he calls avodim hamisham shemes harav, servants who serve their master. And he says in the second paragraph, kol avodasenu, all of our work, he begeder hislamdus. It is in the realm of, I would almost call it like an internship. Lehislamed means to limud, lelamed, and lehislamed means to teach ourselves, to habituate to something. He says Rav Volbi, we ein kolomar ein anu misyarim lachshov. We're not going to think that, you know, we're going to reach this, like, we're going to be the Vilna Gaon, right? Or we're going to be Rashi. But that's okay. And that cuts both ways. Meaning, when we work on this process of Tikkun Atzmi, myself and anybody else here, so it's lehislamid begisha ktsas yoter amitis el haTorah. It's just coming a little bit closer. Are we ever going to get to the level of the Chassam Sofer? Are we ever going to get to the level of Rabbeinu Tam? We're not going to. But that's okay. That's not our calling. That's not our job. That's not this generation. Rav Volbi says, this generation, our job, is to get to know ourselves and to move ourselves forward. It's, if it's not actual Avodas Hashem, it's lehislamed. It's in to get into the world of Avodas Hashem. So we see, and this is how he concludes this Mavo Hashar, that when we get to know ourselves, we may find, you know what? After 120, I'm still not, you know, the Sarishner or whatever. You know, pick the role model, which is important to develop for ourselves. But that's okay, because that's not our calling, Rav Volbi says. We're not living in the time of Rashi, and we're not living in the time of the Chassam Sofer. We're living in the time that we are given. And so our avoda is to get to understand ourselves in the context in which we are, and as he says in his words, "Bigisha yoter amitis el haTorah," to create a more genuine and real approach to avodas Hashem in our lives, to bring godliness into in one more real sense. And those small steps, both bichlal in terms of how universal they are for everybody, and also bifrat how it works for me and it's appropriate for my life, that's going to be our goal in our personal growth and our lives. Have a great day and have a great week. Thank you all for coming.